It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's been a while. You look just the same.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here. Check out the series. Of course, you know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones at all the usual places. That includes Spotify and Apple Podcast at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests on here have included the band Westlife. I had Tommy Stinson of The Replacements, Jerry Harrison of Talking Heads, Lena Waithe and Rishi Rajani stopped by to talk about the documentary Being Mary Tyler Moore. Had the filmmakers behind the movies Heart of Stone, They Clone Tyrone, and Landscape with Invisible Hand. We talked to Barry Manilow, The Hives, Idina Menzel, Madison Beer, Fozia, Bethany Cosentino of Best Coast, and the 800th episode special that included, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, Janelle Monáe, Keanu Reeves, Suki Waterhouse, Rob Lowe, Monica Bellucci, and Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk to an old friend, Julia Steiner, lead singer and lead guitarist of Rat Boys. They're back with a brand new record, their 4th album, called The Window. Now, Julia, she was an intern of mine early on in her career, so of course we're going to talk about that, reminisce a little bit about on some of the artists that she helped me interview. Before we turn our attention to the new record, now the new record is produced by Chris Walla, formerly of Death Cab for Cutie, up at his place in Seattle, so we'll hear all about that. I'm going to ask about how the album carries a certain bit of nostalgia and looking back within the lyrics. And Julie is also going to talk about the background of songs like the title track and the opening number, Making Noise for the Ones You Love, and how they both deal with loss, though in separate ways, as well as finding peace by the end of the set and a bit of the, uncharacteristic music that they listen to while recording, including acts like Janet Jackson, Def Leppard, but also the Roches. All that and more as we talk about The Window. It's Kyle Meredith with Julia Steiner of Rat Boys.
Hi, thanks for having me, Kyle.
I'm so excited to have you on here. I feel like we should have been doing this all along, but first off, so we've got some fun history, but before I say that, let me compliment you on how incredible all of your work has been over the past 10 years, but especially this new record. I'm not trying to paint this too big right now. It's a nice little masterpiece that you all have created.
Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. Yeah, it's been a fun journey, from Kentucky to Chicago, and here we are now in the virtual Thunderdome chatting. But yeah, it's crazy to look back, and I don't know. Yeah, just kind of think about how we've been able to keep making music all this time. So it's nice.
Yeah. And right from the beginning, it was great. I remember, I want to say maybe if it was Elvis in the Freezer that was the first single I got from you all, and
Oh,
you
yeah.
sent me an email. So you were an intern for
Yeah.
one of my shows, The Weekly Feed, in the past.
It's true.
Yeah. And so first I should probably apologize because I don't think I was ever any great. I don't know what you call that because it's not really a mentor, but interview boss or whatever, or internship boss. But did you learn anything helpful in that whole thing?
I was gonna say, I mean, not to blow smoke up your rear, but I think you were a great boss, and I did. I mean, God, A, I learned how to I don't know, just like you showed me that when like you conduct an interview, it's often helpful to not ask direct questions, but to kind of like have conversation starters at the ready, or kind of like almost let a sentence like trail off and let someone else finish it, or kind of like propose things that way. And I found that really, really helpful. And like, I mean, doing a deep dive on all these artists that you were interviewing at the time was, I felt like I was just getting to be a music nerd and had an actual excuse to do it, and not just, you know, doing it for no reason by myself at home. So I remember like we did, yeah, Not a Surf, St. Vincent, like all these artists that I was really, really into, you know, when I back then and still am. So yeah, I don't know. I feel like I did learn a lot, and it was just cool to kind of see how the music industry was working from a behind the scenes standpoint. So
I feel relieved to hear that because I swear every single intern that's ever came through here, I think, oh God, I hope I didn't just waste their time.
no, well, no, and on the contrary, I really wanted to even like hang more, but I was young. I was only 20 when I was your intern, and so I found myself bummed that I couldn't like join you and whoever else like at the bars after the shows and stuff. I had to go home. I was always sad about that, but hey, maybe we can make up for lost time at some point.
Absolutely. And we should do that. Of course, nowadays I'm the one who heads home early
I
and is like, you
know.
guys take care of the bar. I'm going home.
Ain't it funny?
Time has marched on and taken me with it, I believe. But seriously, what you have accomplished over this last decade and what you've done with Rat Boys. So you were here in Louisville and you did that. You went up to Chicago, you started the band, you put out great music, and now you've landed with this new album. Which album is this? Is this the third album?
It's the fourth.
Fourth album. Okay. Yeah. I forgot one of them that I hated. I hated one of those. And I said, I'll never remember that album. That's
Respect. I
not
completely respect that.
at all. Not at all. But this is also finds you all doing some new stuff. I mean, why did you want to leave to go to Seattle, and how did you end up with Chris Walla, who of course used to be with Death Cab, is this incredible producer, one of my all-time favorite artists. Like, how did this part of the story end up playing itself out for you?
Yeah, I mean, well, so we've been a band in Chicago for quite a while now, and we had always made our records here at various studios around the city and with like close friends of ours. And it was always a really nice experience. But I think in the band, we had always craved some sort of just something different, like kind of pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone a little bit. And in 2020, we had a lot of time on our hands, like everyone did, and we switched gears from, you know, this tour that we were planning to do, and all of a sudden we were at home, and we started in earnest like working on new music much sooner than we would have otherwise. And we also started kind of brainstorming this like dream, like wish list of people we would want to work with someday, or places we would want to go and record. Like, we're all just total music nerds in the band, and so there are all these studios that are like, you know, these like kind of sacred places in our minds and stuff. And so yeah, Chris Walla was like at the top of that wish list for us. Like you said, his work with Death Cab for Cutie was for us, and kind of the age that we are, like those, it was a hugely formative band for all four of us growing up. Like even, and I know many people in my generation will say this, like them being on that show, The OC, in like 2003 was like kind of honestly my introduction to indie rock. And so, and then of course he had done so much awesome work with Tegan and Sarah and this band called Foxing that we kind of run in the same circle with. And so we actually got to meet Chris through Foxing at a show that we played together back in 2018. And so, and we, yeah, we were just huge fans and we kind of ended up just cold calling him and seeing if he'd ever be interested. And it was very surreal that he was indeed interested. So, yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Julia Steiner of Rat Boys.
I don't know if it's just songwriting or what the band is doing musically or Chris or all of the above, but there's a feeling on this album. Maybe, and I don't know if it's just what I'm pulling from it for myself. You know, you never know how it lands with each listener, but it's completely captured like this moment in your youth.
Yeah.
And sure, that's helped a little bit because there's, you know, you even title one of the songs, you know, subtitle one of the songs of Fall 2010, and there's references to maps and atlases on there. But, you know, that's even the next generation after me. So it's not like I totally tapped into that myself, but there is something about this album that it's not exactly nostalgic, but it's like a movie, like a coming of age movie that you see that might not even been your generation that you completely feel, if that makes sense.
That's an extreme compliment. Yeah. I mean, I always get a little, I'm very self-aware of like how indulgent I can be with like songwriting and with some of these things. I mean, that I Want You Fall 2010 song is the most indulgent I've ever been, because it's literally just me kind of reminiscing on the specifics of, you know, a very kind of like distilled time in my life and like literal time period. But yeah, I mean, you never want to like make things that aren't relatable to people. But also, I think the experience of kind of noticing time passing and like your life changing and pressing pause and like deliberately looking back is a very relatable experience. And I think that might be the kind of the thing that these songs have in common, because there's definitely not like, you know, an overarching concept to this record. But I think the act of doing that, and yeah, there's a little bit of nostalgia mixed in there. That's kind of what this album's about, I guess.
So what did you find when you look back?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to mainly for me, it's like looking back on relationships and family and kind of the bittersweet feeling of like, things might not have, you know, been what I thought they were, but also I can still appreciate all of the good memories. And kind of, yeah, it's like a very kind of surreal, odd feeling to find yourself on this precipice of like, because I turned 31 this week. And yeah, just like looking back on your youth as a phase of the past is a little sad, but also really nice. And like, yeah, I found myself feeling very kind of proud and, you know, like there's some joy associated with that too. So, yeah, but it's an interesting feeling, and yeah, it is a little bit hard to place maybe.
Because there's that moment when you realize that now there's a decade in between the decade that you remember the best. And it's
totally.
Like, there's something
I'm getting old. It's crazy.
And you don't shy away from loss on the record.
Right.
And in the most poetic ways, that opening track, Making Noise for the Ones You Love. And of course, the title track. And and I've read about the title track because this comes, I'll let you tell the story, but this comes about with your grandparents, right?
That's right. Yeah. So the song, The Window, was maybe the song on the record that has the most kind of grounding in a specific event of my life, or like a real thing that happened, which is that, yeah, in 2020, my grandma was sick with Parkinson's disease, and she was kind of fading fast. But of course, with all the complications that came about in 2020, my grandfather was called to kind of come to her side, but the people at the facility where she was living also said, but we can't, you know, have you physically inside the room or like the building. And so anyway, he basically had to find a workaround and ended up, they kind of said their goodbyes through an open window on the ground floor where she was living. And yeah, and this all happened in, you know, in Louisville. And it's, my mom called and told me about this the next day, because I couldn't be there, obviously, with all the travel restrictions at the time. Anyway, so yeah, it was just this really kind of vivid image of these two people who had lived their whole lives together, kind of having this final moment with this odd kind of disconnect, but the connection was still there. And yeah, it just immediately, I started writing down everything my mom was telling me. And it was just a very kind of a powerful story. And my goal was to tell it as clearly and concisely and honestly as possible, just because that's kind of who my grandpa is. And so it felt like a nice way to honor him and their relationship. And yeah, it all worked out. It's one of those weird things. I know this is like a total songwriting cliche, but sometimes it feels like you're kind of gifted with something, like a song is given to you by a, you know, an unknown power or something. And that this song definitely felt that way to me.
And like I said, it is poetic. I feel like I would have had a hard time separating myself. Like I would have had resentment about that moment, you know, and
yeah,
that would have probably seeped in. That's because that was hard. I mean, we heard that story so many times of people that had to let go like that. And, you know, it's just like, what a, not saying anything new, just what a fucking,
I know,
moment,
what,
you know?
What yeah. a fucking time. Yeah. I mean, I was so grateful on the one hand that this very compassionate nurse had the foresight to like call my family and say, hey, you should probably come over. And also I was so grateful that my mom, you know, was willing to like relay all of this to me over the phone, because it's her parents. Like, you know, she was really, you know, devastated too. But yeah, I, even though I couldn't be there, I felt like I was able to be there just through hearing the story. So that was helpful with me with a little bit of closure. But yeah, what a crazy time.
Yeah. How does that opening track play into these similar themes?
Yeah. I mean, that one is a bit, I wanted to leave that one a bit more open-ended so that it could kind of apply to anyone's relationship. But the way I've thought about it in the past is it's very connected to the title track, because I think they both deal with the like strange ways that we are forced to grieve and like confront the loss of a relationship. And so for that one, to me, it's more about grieving a relationship that ends, but not necessarily with death, like kind of grieving someone who's still alive and that relationship. And that's also a very strange feeling. But yeah, that song also, though, it's funny that you connect them, because that one also kind of felt like a gift. I like woke up, another artist songwriting cliche, whatever, I like woke up in the middle of the night and had that melody in my head, and I recorded it into my phone, which I don't usually have the like foresight again to wake up and do that. But when I listened back to it, I realized it was the same melody as a song I had written like 10 years before. And so it kind of all fell into place really quickly. And yeah, that one's special to me too. It's a bit more like open-ended maybe, which is nice.
You know, are you familiar with the Bill Callahan song, I'd Maul Clackshaw?
No, I love him though.
Yeah, it's my favorite Bill Callahan song. And the song is about the scenario that you just said. He wrote a song about having a dream about an amazing song. And he woke up in the middle of the night and he reached for his notepad to write down everything and then went back to sleep. He didn't record it again. Maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
This was in the, I want to say the mid to late 2000s. So I don't know that, you know, the phone was, had the recording easily accessible. Anyway, that's the actual song. He's writing a song about a song. And in the song, he wakes up the next morning and reaches for his notepad. And it says, I'd ma clackshaw subloven day bar. And it's just gibberish, and he cannot remember the melody at all. And it ends up being like this amazing song on top. I mean, it's
nice.
You say it's meta, you know, but
that's a way to make the most of it. Cause yeah, that is so real. Like most of the time, if I do wake up and sing something into my phone, I wake up the next day and it sounds like, fur, fur, fur. Like I like can't, there's no way to decipher what the hell my idea even was. So that's right. So that's too real.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Julia Steiner of Rat Boys.
And on the opposite side, you've got these other, and just that repeating, almost like a drill that just fills out the song. And it's Alive, which might be one of my favorite singles of this year. I mean, such a powerful moment. But I got to imagine those come from a very different place than the two that we were talking about. They feel like they or at least they're, you know, well, they're a little bit more on the the indie pop, indie rock side of things.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, each song is kind of, I mean, they come from the same place, mainly because I'm writing about my life and my relationships. I'm not great at coming up with fiction, or I like to write about other people sometimes, but it's always things that have actually happened. But they're all, I think each song does come from a different place, like emotionally for sure. Empty for me is kind of, I like to say that it's about when you're like so angry that you can't form complete sentences. And yeah, that was for me a time to like kind of exercise my like rage and just play guitar as loud as I possibly could. So that was kind of the emotional color of that song. But then It's Alive, on the other hand, was like me just feeling so like lonely, but also like full of wonder at the same time. You know, I think that's a feeling that maybe a lot of us had at the beginning of the weird period of 3 years ago. And so, yeah, that It's Alive was like the first song that kind of, that I wrote in that era of the lockdown and social distancing and everything. And it just felt very like, kind of like looking out your window and watching the world go by without you. But also feeling like united in all of humanity in that experience. It was just very, very strange. But so yeah, it's funny, like the songs, they all kind of have their own emotional identity, but they're coming from the same place. So I don't know.
When you get a line then like in Morning Zoo, how long does it take to find the piece that I want? Is there peace at the end of this album? Do you find that?
I personally do. This record feels like a circle to me, like it, which maybe I find peace in that, kind of the resolution of the last song, even ending on a question, to me feels very peaceful, even if it might imply that you're still searching for something or I'm still searching for something. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's a great question. It's hard to say. I mean, I don't really know what that peace looks like. Maybe like I've found peace in my own personal life of finding these bandmates to play with who I feel so fulfilled and who provide such amazing friendship. And also, yeah, just kind of the community that we're a part of. I feel very at peace with our kind of place in that and just the relationships we've been able to make. But as far as the never-ending quest to like keep making music and just figure out how to be alive on Earth, maybe that's something, yeah. That I don't know if that'll ever fully be resolved, but
sure. I mean, we're always in motion, right?
Right. I mean, making peace with that is maybe the goal. And so I feel like I'm on the way there.
And I wrote a song down here, The New Maris.
The New Maria. Yeah.
Maria.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wrote it down wrong. Yeah. Yeah.
So we recorded 12 songs at the session, and that's the one that we decided not to put on the album sequence, but that was always the plan. Exactly. D-side. yeah. I think we're gonna put that one out next spring if all goes well, but Yeah, that's another. Yeah. Do you listen to the band Land of Talk? You gotta check them out. It's a songwriter named Elizabeth Powell, and she writes these really kind of like impressionistic, almost like Fleetwood Mac-esque, like rhythm section, very kind of surreal, like driving instrumentation. I don't know how to describe it, but she's one of my favorite songwriters, and she was definitely a direct inspiration for that song.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I like especially hearing you all talk about the music that you're listening to. I mean, it's not like a lot of people denies influence on records or whatever, but the fact I think that you all were right up front with that in whatever context that meant. I mean, it was on a press release and everything, but that line, we listen to so much music while making this record. Like
Yeah.
I can't identify any direct, like, oh man, there you but I think that's cool if you all can, you know, if you can like hit through
Yeah.
there.
Well, and I will say too, I think a lot of the music that we listened to in the studio didn't necessarily like make its way onto the recordings. Like Chris has this whole frame of reference for music that he's a little bit older than I feel like you guys might be the same age.
He's a few years older than me, but
Okay, got it. Got
we're not
it.
far off. Yeah.
Yeah, he had all these like points of reference of like 80s music that we weren't necessarily familiar with. Like he's obsessed with Janet Jackson and like New Edition, and so and like Def Leppard. Like we would be listening to all these like bands that he loves, and then we would show him things that we love, and it wasn't necessarily like in order to get a certain sound or like I don't know, find a tone idea. It was more just like a way that we could connect and like open ourselves up to the experience of just like enjoying music in general. So yeah, there are certain things that I like can hear specific things we were going for or like inspirational like reference points. Like in the press release, I think we talked about the Roaches and Hammond Song, which is their one of their masterpieces, and that was a definite like harmony, vocal harmony influence and things like that. But yeah, there was a lot. Like it was just an awesome time. Like it felt like we were hanging out with an old friend. So
And sometimes that's all it needs. Sometimes it just, you know, it's something to light you up, you know.
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just a way to like let loose and like laugh and just enjoy ourselves and like kind of just like balk at the audacious, like ridiculous music that exists, and we would love to be a part of that. So it's cool.
Well, it's a damn fine creation, honestly. The record is
Thanks.
so good. I'm so glad it landed the way it did. For whatever internal turmoil you might have gone through emotionally, it's beautifully painted.
Thank you, Kyle. I really appreciate it. I'm glad that you enjoy. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to it too.
So, you know, now that you've done three records, actually four, but three that I'm not gonna, you know, whatever, whichever, I'll never tell which one that is.
One that must not be mentioned. Yes,
No,
exactly.
it's so good. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And look at us now, how far we've
Look
come
at it.
from the old
Looks
intern
like we've
days.
made it. Can I sing Barry
Exactly.
Manilow at the end here for us?
I love it.
And my thanks to Julia. The new Rap Boys album is called The Window and it's out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, I do hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. You get three brand new interviews sent to you every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. Discover the new ones at Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classic tracks, the best in new music. We do anniversary spins, lots of music news, bonus interviews. One of my recent shows had the music of, let's see, John Prine and Lucinda Williams, Tom Waits, Peter Gabriel, Pearl Jam, Portishead, Public Enemy, Counting Crows, Ray LaMontagne, The Kills, Bill Withers and Curtis Mayfield, Etta James, The Runaways, Orla Gartland, Nine Inch Nails, The Flaming Lips, Talking Heads, Suki Waterhouse, Black Pumas, Izzo Fitzroy, REM, Radiohead, Slow Dive, and my interview with actress Elizabeth Perkins, who you'll remember from movies like Big and About Last Night and Weeds and The After Party 2. We actually got to talk about the second season of Minx that she's also starring in right now. And that's just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on any of the social medias. The name is always at Kyle Meredith. So I hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
Yeah, I'm just admiring all the posters behind you. I love that Tegan and Sarah poster too. I have a little like mini poster of them like right next to my bed, like right above the lamp on my nightstand. And I just love, it sounds so weird. I just love looking at it. Like when I turn off my lamp, it almost feels like they're watching over me or something.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.